Good morning and welcome to episode the Ad Drop Podcast. And you are spinning through college football today with stops in Kearney, Nebraska. With me is the head coach of the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Ryan Held. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Now, this is your first year at UNK. What drew you to this job?
Well, you know, I was kind of in transition, you know, looking, you know, what my next job was going to be. I have a lot of familiarity with the state of Nebraska, having been an assistant football coach at Nebraska previous. I played at Nebraska. I'm a Midwest guy, you know, so the conference is a, you know, tremendous conference, MIAA, and I knew the previous head coach and, you know, I've heard a lot of great things about Nebraska, Kearney. A lot of support here. You know, they had won 18 games the previous two seasons. So it was a fit for me where I was at in life. The familiarity with the school and the region. I grew up in Kansas City. A lot of the teams in the MIAA are close to Kansas City and in Kansas, close to Missouri. So, you know, it just was a really good fit for me at where I was at in life. And it was I aligned with the athletic director, Dr. Bauer, and our visions, you know, and what we wanted to both get done, really work together with synergy. And I just felt like it was a good fit for me at this point in my career.
When did you know that, I guess early on, that football would be your path through life?
Well, growing up, I always knew I wanted to be a coach. You know, back when I was little, I collected baseball cards and football cards and everything. I would play, you know, I would play, make teams, make organizations, whatever. But I always knew I wanted to be a coach. Bill Snyder was a big idol of mine. He turned the worst football program in America into a winner. And, you know, so that's kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to take programs that weren't very good and turn them around. So when you look at my career, a lot of the places that we went to weren't very good at the time that we arrived, and we were able to really, you know, get them in the right direction. This actually is the first job that I've had as a head coach that was winning, or, you know, has a winning pedigree recently. So that's a neat deal, because everywhere else I've been, they were coming off 0-1s, 1-1s, getting beat 60-0. And, you know, there was a lot of work. Obviously, there's still a lot of work to do here because this conference is the best in the country in Division II. You know, so the margin of error isn't very big, but it was too good of an opportunity for me to not take this, to take this job.
How would that shift the mindset? Like you said, going from a rebuild of a team that maybe won one or two games the last couple of years to going to a team with a little more of a solid base.
Say that again. You cut out. What was that?
Oh, sorry. When you made the transition to Kearney, where you have a, like you said, the school has a athletic pedigree, especially with football. What was the transition like going from a couple of programs that when you started were one or two win franchises or one or two win schools, and it was hard to kind of get moving?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's similarities to both taking over of jobs, right? You got to come in, you got to see the landscape of the team, you know, start building relationships with the current players, you know, and see what you have. You know, this is an organization that you know, we've transitioned into different schemes than what they had done before. So, you know, do we have the personnel to be able to do what we want to do? So it's like an NFL deal. You know, you come in and, hey, you know, we might need an extra, you know, tight end maybe, or another receiver just because they didn't have enough, or another D lineman because they were in an odd front. Now we're going to be in an even front, whatever that is. So we had to do a lot of that, build the relationships, watch some film, see where our deficiencies were. And you had to do that on whatever program, back even the one first. A lot of times with the one first, there weren't many guys in the program, so we were like blowing the deal up and starting over. Here, there's good numbers, and a lot of good players returning, but we still have to go out and get some guys that can be young and develop, and then guys that can play immediately.
Being a former quarterback, if you say you're on the field and you're just kind of watching potential recruits play, can you tell just by the look and just the eye test from a few throws or probably a half an hour while watching somebody kind of go through a practice, if they have the talent that you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, the skill set, if you're watching quarterback in particular, you know, you're looking at their arm stroke, you're looking at their footwork, their arm strength, being able to make all the throws that you need. Now that you take that with caution, right? What is the situation? Is it just they're just throwing, or is this a team situation where they got linemen in front, they step up and still make the throws? Because 7-on-7 is great. You do that, but you don't have linemen in front. You don't have to move in the pocket and make those throws with D linemen trying to have their arms up and all that. So, you take it with a grain of salt, but you can definitely, watch a kid, and be able to, in your mind say, yeah, I think he's got some skill sets and quarterback, features that we need, to be able to watch more film. Again, when you're recruiting, there's highlight videos are great, but where we all mess up, I think, and I've done it too, is you need to watch game film. Because anybody can, I could go out and make a highlight video, and someone might think I'm decent at my age, but you got to be able to watch and peel the onion back even more and watch game film, because that's really truly what is going to tell you what this kid's all about.
What is more difficult to try to coach? A quarterback with elite arm talent, but average to below average everything else, or a quarterback with average arm talent, but has elite everything else?
Well, I'll tell you, with the quarterback, you have to have a fast blinker. I mean, you have to have a guy that's really smart and understands what you're trying to get done. I mean, I think that's really where the starting point is, because, they got to be able to process information, see the signal. What is it? Two high, one high, middle open, middle close, read the certain people they're supposed to read. So really, it starts there. And then after that, then it depends on what you're asking your guy to do. I mean, are you more of a vertical team, seam team, or are you more short, intermediate, and then the deep balls are what they are? A lot of it depends on, what you're asking in your offense the quarterback to do. But you have to have a fast blinker, number one. And then, yeah, you need a guy that definitely can have the arm strength. But then there's some guys that don't have cannons, but they're so smart and they can anticipate throws that they don't have to have. So if you ask me, what would I rather have? I would rather have a really, really smart quarterback that can make the throws over a guy that has a cannon that can't process information. Because at the end of the day, if they can't do that, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're going to have some wow plays, some comebacks to the field where everybody's like, man, that guy can really throw. But then when you look at the other plays, they're not able to make what you need done in your offense.
How difficult is it to sort of break a quarterback of bad habits, be holding the ball too low or having a delivery that's they can't repeat?
Yeah, that's the thing about when we get a quarterback at our level, they've had how many years before us that they've been doing certain things. So it's really hard to really change a lot. Now you can tweak their footwork, you can see if they're overstriding, you can work on their stroke in certain ways. But at the end of the day, it's hard to completely transform somebody once you get them and they've had training for so long. But that's something that as a quarterback coach, you got to tweak things, and a little bit here, a little bit there, and then you just got to work on that over and over and over, because you're not going to be able to wholesale change a guy, because then all he's going to be doing is worrying about all these mechanical things you're trying to get done, and then they can't go out there and perform. That's why your evaluation, in terms of before they come, you need to be really looking at all that, because quarterbacks, you're not signing 10 guys, right? You're only signing a limited. So make sure you go through that, see them in practice, watch the film, and not just see them one time. You need to see them multiple times. So when you compare them to the other people, you've really done your due diligence. So the guy coming in, you kind of know already, well, I'm probably going to need to work on this and that, and not have to do some wholesale rip the engine out and put a new engine in. If you have to do that, that's probably not going to work.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss more about the technique of a quarterback and looking at this Kearney team. We are listening to the AirDrop podcast on the FBC Radio Network. We are back with the Agile Podcast. Terrence Biggs, head coach of the new head coach of the University of Nebraska at Kearney football team, Ryan Helf. Coach, when you have in an in-game situation, and just say it early, some quarterbacks have said it takes them to get hit to wake up. Do you subscribe to that thought, or do you think that that's kind of an overblown or kind of overinflated thought?
You know, I maybe, I don't know. I guess it, you know, different kids have different ways of doing things, you know, in their minds. I think that's maybe more made up in their head. You know, at the end of the day, you want your practices to be harder than games. So whether that's the physical piece of it, that's situational football and competition throughout the week, you know, guys understand, hey, this is third down and four period. We got to get third and medium. We got to be able to get this first down against our defense. You know, it's a mindset thing. And, you know, again, everybody has their different way, just like music. Some guys listen to music, some guys don't. But at the end of the day, I think some of that's kind of, you know, more individualized, but made up in their head. Again, there's different ways to skin a cat, how we look at it. But, you know, we want our guys prepared in the film room, obviously on the field, and give them all the scenarios and make sure they get all the looks. But then they need to understand what, you know, what are the rules within what we do. So then we're not robots out there either. Like, be a football player. I'm going to call a bad play. We'll make it work. You know, they get paid too on the other side, right? So find a way to make the play work.
Speaking of the quarterback aspect, you are inheriting a quarterback room full of young passers. Is there one that you think so far that has not so much caught your eye, but one that kind of we should be looking at?
Well, TJ Davis is, you know, I'm going to say the best quarterback in Division II. He was the MIAA Player of the Year 2 years in a row. He's a special football player. He's has his 6 year coming back. This kid can run and throw. You know, they, you know, the previous, there was a lot of running for the quarterback. Now TJ will have to be a little more balanced, which is what he wants. I think he's excited about. So I'm really, you know, pumped up to work with him. Sean Johnson is another kid that is really, really good. He's a young guy with a great stroke. He can really run. You know, he's got 3 years left. So our quarterback room right now is really, really good. We got another young guy, Tyler Perry, that redshirted last year, that's got a really strong arm. And then we signed a young high school kid, Abram Schulting from Pierce, that was one of the top players in the state of Nebraska. So we feel really good right now at that position. Obviously, these guys need to learn our offense. They're doing different things that they're not used to doing, but I think they're embracing it and enjoying it. You know, we got practice two today, you know, in helmets. So we'll go out today and be better than we were 2 days ago.
When you took the field for your first practice as the head coach, what was that like to kind of look and see that this is now your program?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been a head coach in multiple places, and I've always embraced and enjoyed that. You know, this like I told you before, this is a really good place, very committed to winning, very supportive in all aspects from the community, from the institution. And, you know, to have the blue to run out there and see these guys, this group really works hard. You know, the culturally, when you take over a program that has 18 wins the last 2 years, you know, there's things you tweak. And make your own. But these guys know how to work. And, you know, now we just have to get them to work and how we want them to work. Practices are way different. So they have to come to our level and how we do things, because we're going to play a lot faster in certain situations. They're going to have to run more reps in certain periods. But, you know, that's something we'll monitor from GPS and looking at their workload and all that, and maybe tweak it here or there. But at the end of the day, you know, our practices, you're going to be exhausted when you walk off the field.
Now, when you look at just the MIAA in general, it, like you said, is one of the better Division II conferences. What do people kind of not really understand about Division II football?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, Division II, there's certain things, right? You get 36 scholarships instead of 85 or 63 FCS. So that's the start. Number two, you don't get as many coaches, right? You don't have all these quality controls and all that, so you don't have as much help. Number three is, at our level, you might get a lineman that's 6'2", that if he was 6'4", would be a Division I guy if you're recruiting the right players. So you're talking about this much difference in height, maybe this much difference in arm length, maybe this much difference in speed. There's not a whole lot overall. The talent, don't get it twisted, is big time in the big time Division I. But when you get down to middle to FCS, down to Division II, that really, you could water that. And I would take some of these D2 schools against some FCS programs. I can tell you that, I coached last year at FCS. This league could go and compete at a lot with a lot of different teams. So, it comes down to less money, obviously. You're not on TV as much. But these kids are really good football players, and they go out there. And in our league, the MIAA, it's a lineman league. You have really good O-line, D-line. If you don't have that, which is at any level, but especially in this league, you're going to be in trouble.
And people don't really, like, some don't really understand that there have been players from the MIA to make the NFL. They had a defensive lineman out of Fort Hays a couple of years ago, Nathan Shepard, who's now with the Jets, who's been with the Jets for, I want to say, 4, 5 years. Now, being a Midwest native, how good is it to be home, so to speak?
Well, it's big. I love being close to my family, number one. My parents live in Overland Park. I have a lot of friends in Kansas City. I know, obviously, a lot of people in Lincoln and Omaha. I got family in Omaha. So me regionally, to be able to be 5 hours from there, that I can go home to Kansas City, get my barbecue and go to the Royals game and, do all that stuff when I get some free time. And people can come see us play and when we go to, Missouri Western, that's an hour from Kansas City. My parents can drive right up the road. There's a lot for me where I'm at in life. There's a lot of value in that, to be able to have family and different people that I know be able to come and watch these games. Because, my parents played at Pittsburgh State. So I've been to Pittsburgh State a million times growing up. And to be able to go down there and, coach against a great program like that that my dad played for. That's a big deal to me, there's other things as well. Warrensburg's not that far from Kansas City, and, Missouri Southern's in Joplin. So, I mean, Emporia's an hour and a half away. So, it regionally, it's good. Yeah, it's a little bit colder. I was in Alabama recently, so it's 80 degrees in Alabama right now. My wife hasn't completely moved yet. They'll be all up with my family, and she teases me, "Well, you can have that cold right now." I said, "Well, you better enjoy it. Here for the next few days." But overall, though, it's great to be back in the Midwest. I have a lot of familiarity with recruiting the junior colleges and all these schools in this region, because that's what I've done for a long time.
Now, as someone who I'm a barbecue guy, I really do. I have an affinity for Carolina barbecue. I've had a Kansas City barbecue a couple of times. It was maybe I went to the wrong place. Where's the best place in Kansas City to have barbecue, and what are you having on that plate?
Well, a lot depends on what do you want, right? I don't know where you went, but, I mean, I'm just going to give you the three big ones. Gates Barbecue is a big-time place. Presidents come in for that. Q39, I really like their brisket. It's really good. Joe's Kansas City, it was Oklahoma Joe's, has really good ribs and sides. For the sauces and how it's cooked, is better from Kansas City than Memphis and Carolina style and all that. Now, again, it's good. It's just, I'm a KC guy, so I got to roll with them. It's really, really good stuff. Again, I don't know where you went. Maybe you had a bad batch, but I would argue it's as good as there is in the world. So I'm gonna ride with KC on that one.
Now, as a Kansas City native, that makes you a Chiefs fan, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Do you think that, looking forward to the draft, the Chiefs are coming off a Super Bowl where they went up and down the field, scored a bunch of points? Should they still look at a wide receiver to kind of take that Tyreek Hill spot, or are they good where they're at?
I think if I was the Kansas City Chiefs, first round, I'd look pass rusher. I'd still get one more pass rusher. Number two, second round, I would go offensive tackle. Number three, I would go tight end. There's really good tight ends. There may be two or three. Get one of these tight ends. And then I think you can get a really good receiver in the fourth round. I think they got a couple fours. I mean, there's enough guys to where you can get, you know, they have Justin Ross or the guy from Clemson that was injured. I mean, that's a first round talent. You know, they have Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. Yeah, I mean, you know, they need to free up a little more space and, you know, get maybe one more guy. I don't know if they can afford Hop or OBJ, but I still think, you know, they did a really nice job in free agency with the defensive pickups. I really like that. They got some good young secondary, but I still would get a pass rusher. I really like the Auburn guy, number 29. I can't remember his name.
Good
But
call.
then there, then you get an offensive tackle to make sure you got to protect Patrick, right? And then you got to get another tight end because Travis is still rolling, but you want the next guy up. And then, like I said, you know, then you can get another receiver, a really good one in the fourth round, or maybe make a trade and then get another where you can get, you know, a couple more guys. But they got enough picks to fill it. They'll free up some more space. I mean, you know, defensively, think about it. If they're really, really good on defense, how sick they really could be.
This is true. The new head coach of the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Rynell, coach, best of luck this season. We'll definitely be checking in. We'll definitely be watching. Best of luck. All the best.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and have me on anytime.